We're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS, 646 on a Tuesday evening in Lansing. So we have heard about how employers are having a hard time filling open positions. So which jobs are we talking about? Manpower Group's 2012 Talent Shortage Survey, listing the ones that are now hardest to fill, to break it all down and talk about how you can position yourself to qualify for a few of them. I'm joined by Chris Lawson, an employment and hiring expert and CEO of the staffing company Eli Daniel. It's actually based down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's elidaniel.com. Chris, thanks for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure, Michael. How are you?
Very, very good, I think. Now tell me, the number one hardest job to fill apparently is this skilled trades, although it seems like a very broad category. What kind of jobs are we talking about, and why are they so hard to fill right now?
Well, it's, it almost begs the question, how do we have hard to fill jobs in America right now? But it just goes back to, and I'll talk specifically about those, but it goes back to, I think, just that mind shift that we've had to really internalize how we're doing things in 2008, from 2008 to this point. And so, where you're comparing 4-year degree versus some of the vocational six month to 2 year type of position. So it could be skilled trade, electricians, pipe fitters, heavy equipment operators, masonry, plumbers. I mean, these are a lot of jobs that typically in the past were passed down. You know, it's kind of like, you had a mom or dad that taught you the skill, and so you would always have that particular skill set, whether you could use it or not. And I think, we've definitely just gotten away from the emphasis on skills and different types of positions that you can make very good money at.
But these aren't high-level, high-tech skilled trades, right? Many of these, you're saying, are even basic skilled trade positions that even you're finding hard to fill?
Well, I think, no, if it's basic where, they're not requiring experience or any, if it's just general, then those aren't hard to fill at all. It's, when they list skilled trades, plumbers, electricians, things like that. And then you got IT staff, sales reps, accounting and finance drivers, mechanics, machinists, machine operators. These are some of the positions that are going unfilled. And I think there's a couple reasons that, number one, there's been so much focus on a 4-year degree and where we've now gotten to the point where the bachelor's, unless it's highly specialized, doesn't really equate to making money when you walk out. Whereas if you develop and specialize and go from a vocational or, start in high school to learn this stuff, then that's where you could, separate yourself.
Tell me, though, somebody comes to you, they've been unemployed, let's say a year, maybe even a couple of years, and they now are desperate, maybe, but very serious, at least, to get a job. Do you recommend for them to go into a training course that may take 6 months or a year and take on some debt to pursue some of these jobs?
I think yes, in some cases for sure, because if you are, number one, in an industry where there's a sharp decline, we have to really do our research, and the internet gives us everything we need to know. But if you're in an industry that there are no jobs and you can't transfer your skills, then it's time to take a hard look at, okay, where are the jobs in the areas that I'm in? So, Lansing, Michigan, or Michigan in general, what kinds of jobs am I seeing that require me going to school for 6 months to up to 2 years, depending? And then you just factor in that cost. A lot of times you can get grants and unfortunately, a loan, but probably at a fairly decent interest rate. Then you run into the lack of experience thing, which that's another topic.
But let me ask you this. I'm talking to Chris Lawson. He's the CEO of the staffing company Eli Daniel. It's Eli Daniel. .com, because you see these commercials on TV for a school for mechanics or school for medical services. Are these typically successful programs like they appear to claim on television? Do people come out of a 7-month program and really land a great job?
That's a really great question. And because this is where a lot of the responsibility falls back to the employers, and employers that have been have gotten skittish over the last 5 years, to where normally, you know, some of these programs, you go, let's say 6 months, you get a medical assistant certification, or a year, how long it takes, then you go and you try to find a job, but they say they want experience. And then you've got experienced people that are coming in, but they're saying, well, the problem is that you're too expensive. We can't afford you. So really what employers have to do is think, yes, we've got immediate needs, but at the same time, let's invest in the talent, okay? If you interview somebody and they've got the intangibles you're looking for and the skills, forget the how long is it going to take them to get on the job training and experience? In a lot of cases, I think that's where we fail, because employers are not educated enough to take calculated chances and risks.
Taking that into account, though, are you now finding, just as apparently reports are now telling us, that those that are 50 and older that have experience are having a hard time actually getting positions, a lot of times due to their age?
I think certainly that's the case. If it comes down to economics, when you've got somebody that's willing to do it for, you know, a lot less, and companies are looking at that. But, you know, I think if you creep up there in age a little bit more is where you start to see even more, and where people just ultimately end up taking those positions that may not generate near the income they'd anticipated, but nonetheless they're working.
Now, when it comes to what you do, the staffing company, Eli Daniel, how does that work exactly? Are you finding employees for companies that are looking for them?
Mm-hmm. What we do is we just visit with companies all the time. As much as they'll give us an opportunity to visit with them and find out what's going on with their company. Why are they having hiring? Why are they having turnover? Why are they doing this? And then we provide solutions to that, whether it might be, hey, have you ever thought about readjusting your thinking on the lack of industry or lack of experience and just take somebody straight out of vocational school?
I do want to ask you this now. For someone that has experience, has sent many resumes out, has not been successful maybe in getting responses, what would you say is the best approach? Once a resume has been sent out, we hear the typical path, you're supposed to call and follow up. Is mm-hmm. that effective? Is that a must?
Well, only if you know, that's usually, a lot of times you'll run into a roadblock when you call these days. Number one, people just really don't answer the phone. So email is really an effective way if you can find an email address. And there are ways that you can get those email addresses for the companies. And I say, when you're applying for a job and you know the company, you better know everything about that company. And you better put in either a cover letter or an email exactly why you want to work for that company and what skills you bring to the table. So you got to really laser in. You see, so many times people will just get on to the online job boards and blast out a blanket resume, and they say, well, you know what? I sent out 200 today or whatever. Let's see if any of them stick. Well, that's not the right approach, because people are looking specifically for what they want to see in a job from that job posting. And so you need to tailor your objective to it. You need to put the reasons why you're qualified. So it really, you have to slow down, and you have to research, and you have to be really targeted about how you go about it. And you can't be quick and swift, and I mean, you've got to use all the resources available to make an impression.
Now, someone that has been unemployed for a long time, maybe even someone that's older, 50 plus, it's been a year now. They've sent out thousands of resumes. They've had a few interviews. What should they do at the point where they feel that it is really hopeless?
Well, I mean, you number one, you got to be honest with yourself and say, okay, have I asked for feedback? Is my resume really pretty sharp? And just make sure that it's not something on your end where you're dressing appropriately for an interview. But beyond that, it's a matter of really just trying to find, if you're at a position where you're like, okay, I see a demand in my area for this position, but I don't have the skills, then it's probably worth the investment to go ahead and make that shift in career change. But everything's changed, and if you're having trouble looking for work, the salary expectations, obviously, they have to change. And you know, once you get in, it's with a company, it's good old fashioned work your tail off and provide value to the company so that hopefully you can get that raise, promotion, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but you know, it's a reality that we live in.
And just to reiterate, the top 10 most or hardest positions to fill, this is the Manpower Group's 2012 Talent Shortage Survey. The number one position, skilled trades, then engineering IT staff, sales representatives, accounting and finance. Then we drop down to drivers. I'm guessing truck drivers there, Chris?
Drivers, probably, yeah, mostly CDL, but you'll see some local drivers. And that shouldn't be too hard to find.
Sure,
it just comes
down,
yeah, right.
And then we come down to mechanics, nurses, machinists, and teachers, number 10. Chris Lawson, CEO of Eli Daniel, a staffing company out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Chris, thanks for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure, Michael. Anytime. Right. Have
Excellent.
A great day.
You too. It's elidaniel.com on the web. And we'll be right back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.